Hail cheaters, welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh, I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, it's Valentine's Day week. I know that you, the Valentine's Day is your favorite holiday. It's the one you look forward to more than any other holiday. You kind of build a whole month around it. So
I do.
How are you feeling? I mean, you're about halfway through the month.
Yeah, I've already gotten upwards of 22 Valentines,
wow.
I think.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. No, it's great. Did you ever do this thing in grade school where everyone, part of your arts and crafts project was to build a mailbox?
Yes.
And then come Valentine's Day,
yes,
everyone dropped Valentine's.
Yes, I did. That was awesome.
I did this thing with this particular girl, Laura, you know who you are. You're probably listening. I drew the tiniest heart in the bottom corner of the Valentine that you probably needed a magnifying glass to see. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was sort of like the Da Vinci Code. If she saw it, somehow it would unlock her love for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Never came to be, though.
That's too bad. That was your Ralph Wiggum, Lisa Simpson moment, right?
Will you choose me?
So, Brandon, how did the FPL gods treat you this week, though? I mean, was it a happy Valentine's Day pre-weekend for you?
Oh, very, very sad Valentine's Day. The FPL gods, I think the Valentine got lost in the mail, just to beat this metaphor to death.
I know. This is one of our weaker intros.
So obviously we're going to talk about the man, the myth, the legend, Brock Toon, Sergio Kun Aguero, this entire podcast. I am a non-Aguero owner. So I was destroyed after that Leicester City game. Absolutely destroyed. Even though De Bruyne, my baby boy, comes through with a Mkhitaryan-esque performance of a hat trick of assists.
Right. 13 points, I believe.
Yeah, 13 points, which ultimately brought me just slightly above the week average of 61. So I finished on 68 points, but that's a red arrow for me.
Did you ever consider captaining him? And this is sort of the theme of this, of the last month or two, is you not captaining KDB, even though you kind of want to every single game week, and he keeps getting these double-digit returns. Was it even on the table for you?
No, it wasn't on the table. I think like a lot of people who either don't have Aguero or weren't considering an Aguero captaincy, it was just a choice for me between Kane and Salah. KDB, I mean, the criticism of him this season has been he is not a captain option, therefore he's not worth the price that he has in the FPL game. And for everyone who listens to this pod, they know I'm totally in love with Kevin De Bruyne. The fact that there was only been one game week in which I thought seriously of captaining him.
He's the little redheaded girl, right?
Yeah, he's the one that got away.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the one week I seriously thought of captaining him, I went with Salah instead. He got his 6-pointer, and De Bruyne got a goal and an assist. But to answer your question, no, I didn't for once think of captaining KDB. But it's getting to the point where, well, we'll discuss this later in the podcast. Where does Salah fall in this discussion?
Right.
Is it like a set and forget with Salah? Well, if it's not, then KDB is starting to get into that discussion. Not a set and forget
Is it Salah or Salah? Because I thought it was Mo Salah. Like, I don't know.
It depends on which week you catch me, how I'm pronouncing
it. I saw someone on Twitter in a peak of righteous rage, so mad about people on Twitter mispronouncing player names. And I have to say, I don't get the fuss. I don't get why it matters. I don't mind when people mispronounce things in real life, at my job or otherwise. Like, I guess people don't like it because it's insulting the players, but, you know, I'm pretty sure that Dele Alli and Mo Salah don't listen to the podcast. Like, so it's fine.
Well, and
you know, they're also millionaires, and we're like guys with podcasts, so it's probably fine.
Yeah, we're just a couple of guys with a podcast out of our apartment. We're not all that intelligent. But I'll also say this. All around the world, people speak with different accents and different dialects.
Yep.
And your name gets pronounced different ways in different languages, and
right.
I don't know. Who knows?
All I will say is I do try to pronounce the names correctly. When we read the Always Cheating Super League Top 10, I am trying to pronounce. Just because I mispronounce everyone's name doesn't mean I'm not trying, Brandon. It's important to note that.
Yeah. And I'll also say this. I don't mind if you want to yell at us for mispronouncing players' names.
I do mind. That's why I'm bringing it up. I don't like it.
I don't mind because that's your right. And obviously, we're going to screw some of them up. And that's fine. We're not perfect.
Okay.
And I'm not claiming that there's some sort of out.
Okay. For us. That's fair. That's fair. All right. So my game week 27 was better. So I'm not going to have
Can I actually talk about my captaincy debacle, such as it is? So last week we talked all about, do we just captain Salah every week and it'll
be
fine?
You were so mad at me for bringing this up.
Well, I thought that the discussion was a bit trite. Or perhaps I just knew that every FPL manager was going to be talking about it. So anyway, I think I convinced myself that I had to go with Kane to stick by my guns, stick by the argument that I was making. I also
let it never be said that the podcast doesn't make us worse, by the way, at fantasy.
Yeah, it's true. And I don't want to, it's a sticky argument to make where, well, Kane had a hat trick's worth of chances in the North London Derby. He could have been looking at more than one goal.
Right.
That
is true. Although Salah also could have had 5 goals and 5 assists in that Southampton game.
True. I think my point is in looking at it, I don't feel like I made a terrible decision. In hindsight, yes, I made the worst possible captain decision I could have made because I should have just gone with Salah.
You're going to stick with your guns.
Yeah, I stuck with my guns. That's the worst possible decision I could have made. Car crash defense again. We'll talk about Alonso. I mean, you've suffered. You broke Alonso for us.
I know. 1 point, 0 points, and 0 points and brought him in. I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. It just so frustrating. Of course, Christensen gets a bonus point today, too. So I ended up on 89 points overall. Continue my climb back off the table. I picked up another 45,000 spots or so. And I did captain Aguero. I went back and forth a little bit on Salah and Aguero, but I just don't have a lot of faith in the Leicester defense. And, I don't know. I had kind of like a thought in my head that maybe, Liverpool, so they've played 2 away matches since Coutinho left, at least two away matches in the league. I'm not sure if they played any FA Cup away matches, but 2 away matches in the league. And, one of them, Salah, was held scoreless. And the other one, he converted a late penalty. So he hadn't actually scored an open play goal without Coutinho. And so I was just sort of on the fence. Like, that was just enough for me to go with Aguero or Salah. So I did that, looking at 1 point from Aguero in the first half. I mean, it was actually kind of like the Newcastle game where, like, all of his goals were sort of, I think in the Newcastle game, you know, the famous Newcastle game where he scored 5 goals and 25 minutes. I think he only had 1 before halftime in that game. And I think the other 4 all came in like a 15 or 20 minute spell in the second half. So in this case, scoreless in the first, or he was scoreless in the first half and then scored 4 in the second. And they were kind of each
within the span of like 26 minutes or something like that.
Increasingly,
at least the hat trick.
Increasingly spectacular goals, right? It was like everyone built on the goal that came before. First 2 were on assists from KDB, and then the other one is just a really heads up play where he catches Schmeichel making a mistake and then kind of loops it over. I was watching the replay today. It's actually like the loft that he puts on that ball to chip it in is it's quite a difficult shot. You know, I mean, he's such a
You think it's difficult,
right? I mean, obviously it's difficult, but like in real time, I don't think I realized just how high the degree of difficulty was. And then that 4th goal was just a work of art. I mean, it was absolutely beautiful.
Well, anyone who's, I think it's L2 plus circle to do the lob shot in FIFA. Somebody will correct me. If FIFA has taught me anything, it's that the lob shot is very difficult. Difficult to get the arc
right
over the goalkeeper's reach.
Yeah, exactly. And then that 4th goal, I think it's the Football Ramble or something. They were talking about just any goal that hits the top of the crossbar and then thumps down. Like, there's something so beautiful about that. Like the crossbar, like into the goal.
And to make it doubly beautiful, the fact that it was like straight at Schmeichel, but it was still unsavable.
Yeah, exactly.
And we were talking about this earlier. The moment that you saw Aguero get that ball from, was it Foden?
Yeah.
As soon as he got the ball in that space out on top of the 18, you knew he was just going to blast it as hard as he possibly could.
I know they backed off, and I guess they just had kind of given up. I mean, there's maybe 5 minutes left in the match. So I got 20, 21 from him doubled. Kellen Wilson disappointed again. I'm trying to have some perspective on Kellen Wilson. I mean, ultimately, there's just not a lot of – there's no reliable striker under $6 million, right? And that includes Kellen Wilson. And so, when you're bringing Kellen Wilson for Stoke at home and Huddersfield away, you do expect some points. But ultimately, it's not like I've invested that much money in him. So just kind of annoying because ultimately I could have gone with a five-man midfield. I left Milojevic on the bench. So that was a little annoying to leave the 8 points there. Ward-Prowse.
There's another mispronunciation for you people out there listening.
Yeah, Ward-Prowse actually had a bunch of chances to get attacking returns. He had a header that he almost scored on, and he also almost had an assist, too, on a ball he played in. So Ward-Prowse looks like a real buy if you're looking at wildcarding anytime soon. I think he's still only at $5.1 million and super dangerous.
The only caveat there is it looks like Southampton's almost guaranteed to blank in 31.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly. So,
we'll talk about that a little bit later. Though, yeah.
And the one transfer I made, it's actually interesting to bring up Gaming 31. So, I was kind of debating between Bauer on Stoke and Fernandez on Swansea. And I ultimately went with Fernandez. And the reasoning was I think sometimes there's a tendency to overthink a blank or like, okay, so the reason we talk about Game Week 31, as we talked about in previous podcasts, is there's likely to be only, I don't know, something like maybe 3 to 5 fixtures total, if that, during Game Week 31.
Sure, I think Ben Krellin, who gets cited every time people talk about the blanks in 31, right, he's projecting the number of blanks to be around 6. So that would leave us with probably 4 to 5 fixtures.
Right, and so there's this...
Depending on how accurate that
is. Yeah, and there's this feeling that, you know, the moves you make, you're inclined to bring in players who are... who have a fixture in that game week. But I think you can also overdo it a little bit, too. And my thinking was Swansea have, you know, Burnley, Brighton, West Ham, Huddersfield, Southampton, and I can just get more points from them, you know, or from Fernandez in the next 5 game weeks than I would from a Stoke defender. And so, you know, and there's no guarantee of a clean sheet in game week 31 for them anyway. So, you know, how many weeks in advance do I want to bring in a guy like that if I think he's only going to get 2 points that game week anyway, you know? So, yeah. And that's already paid for itself, right? Because I got 6 from Fernandez and Bauer is only on 2 points. So,
what is crazy about Swansea to mention that is they only have 1 home fixture in the next 6, which is kind of outrageous.
But they're playing this like crazy formation right now where like it's kind of amazing that it's actually working, like that they're actually scoring goals out of it. Because I don't really remember ever seeing it before. It's like a 5-man back line. It's just like it's a strange, I don't know, the 5-4-1. I just don't feel like that's a very common formation.
Hey, anything that frees up Ki Sung Young to score worldies, just unleash the beast that is Ki.
Exactly. So there's, for whatever, you know, for right now, they're playing a 5-man back line at Swansea, and it's working very well. So
I feel like I missed a good unlocking the door pun there, but that's fine. I'll move on.
So anyway, I finished on, 89 total. It was really all about Aguero. I had 6 from Kane, 8 from Sterling. Cuca Martina, I got another assist from him. There was the late Ashley Williams handball. It was just Ashley Williams is just so done. He's so cooked as a player. That ended up costing me, I think, 7 points total because I was actually on 3 bonus points for Martina at that point, too, and so I lost the clean sheet as well. So from 12 to 5 in the space of an Ashley Williams handball was very annoying.
Ashley Williams, hashtag cooked.
I
love it.
I know. So 89 total. It was, you know, a very good scoreline. It didn't, you know, wasn't quite as huge as it could have been because, you know, Salah ended up on 13 points. He was, you know, really highly capped in overall. You know, Firmino had a big game week as well. And then Eden Hazard today. And then obviously the ultimate troll, right? And then the Chelsea with all the clean sheets, except of course for Alonso, the player that you and I both have, and many others have him as well. So that was just kind of annoying. And so I ultimately, you know, I was actually up like 100,000 spots or so, and I ended up about 45,000 total. So now I'm in between 100K and 200K. That's like it's fine. Like the comeback is back on. You know, at least I should be able to crack back into the 100K or into the top 100K again with another good game week or two. So So, you know, the early wild card seems like it's already been justified.
I didn't even mention my good news. I'm now a Theo Walcott owner. I'm 1 point richer.
Yeah, exactly. Now, that is one where it was, you know, there was some planning for Game Week 31, but it also seemed reasonable to bring in Walcott. I mean, you know.
Dropping Jesse Lingard for Walcott. And Walcott, to his credit, he did look really great, incredibly positive against Palace. And he had a number of sort of hockey assist level passes.
Right.
And I think the points will come for him. It's a good, still a good long-term buy. I wouldn't be scared off by this one-pointer.
All right, so that's our game weeks. You know, I don't know. Pretty good for me, not so great for you. How did the always cheating...
How many points again did you get there, Josh?
89 points.
89 points. So it was a week for the Century Club. A lot of people hitting 100.
I know.
So that's great to see. I think there's always a beautiful, palpable buzz around FPL social media when people start hitting that Century Club.
I was on 88 going into the final fixture, and I was really I had dreams of an Alonso, you know, clean sheet and goal. It was really kind of heartbreaking. The second Monday in a row to the late breaking news. You know, it's just, you know, I mean, all these, there are a lot of very hardworking people who are trying to get us injury news. And it's just ultimately, you know, it's just, you know, these guys play it so close to the vest, and it's hard to really know sometimes.
Imagine how I felt having Higazi coming off the bench. It was around 2:45 and I was like, yeah, that's 15 minutes before kickoff here on the East Coast in the States. I was like, yeah, Higazi, I could see bracing a clean sheet. Sounds good. Sounds reasonable. Yep. Now, what did not come to pass?
No, I think there was only like one. Did they even have a corner kick in that match? Like maybe one? There was like one free kick, I think. All right, so let's look at the always cheating Super League, Brandon. We have a new number one, but let's get to him in a moment. Number 10 is D-Boy United. D-Boy, congratulations, D-Boy. I was gonna list his
wonder where he came
I was gonna
up
list
with.
His game week score and total points, but you know, no one's writing this stuff down. Number nine is Benkin Belicub, Eric Peterson on 95 points. Stevie Sunshine dropped a little bit, cruise control. Dave Lambs, the one that matters, with 106 points. Congratulations to you, Dave Lamb. New to the top 10, I believe this is.
Welcome,
yes.
Dave.
Two girls, one schlup. Andrew Ferguson in sixth. Heating up Aaron Matheson in fifth. At number four is for Fuchs, Ake, Ayu Blind, Joe Stone, and Brandon. I'm keeping us off that explicit label. I'm not going to pronounce that the way it's
keep
way
it clean
too.
Keep it clean,
in
Joe.
In third, wow, Graham McDonald, Gamchester United, 107 points.
Graham, taking my breath away, buddy. Well done.
Number two is Prakar Patel's Crazy Coutinho, and then.
Long-standing number one, Crazy Coutinho. But 69. That's a BK Broilers level score this
tough,
game week.
Tough week for Crazy Coutinho. And number one is Jamal Rice, who is a new member and a new addition to the Always Cheating Super League. Welcome Jamal to the league, and Jamal is 13 overall in the world. So congratulations, Jamal.
13. Is that the best you can do, Jamal?
Jamal, come on now. You think there's 12 people better than you, Jamal? No, there's not. You can do this.
You're the top manager.
That's
Let's
right,
go.
Exactly. All right. Congratulations to everyone in the top 10. No rants this week, Brandon, because we've got 2 weeks off. This is not a time to rant. This is a time to refocus your energy, right?
Recharge.
Exactly. Go. Yeah, get outside.
Speaking of recharging, Josh, we're going to record a special podcast because we had this break. We have time to do special things that we don't normally do. So for our Patreon supporters, you go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. That's where you can support what Josh and I do every week for this free FPL podcast. We're going to do what we're calling an Ask Us Anything. You know, on Reddit, they do these AMAs. Is that what they call them? Ask Me Anything. So basically, this is your opportunity to ask me or Josh anything you want, and we will answer with, as Josh, you're fond of saying in your advice shop on Twitter, the 100% correct answer.
That's right. And these do not have to be anything related to fantasy at all. You can ask us any question about us, about the universe, about other sports. If you want to ask us if, you know, if you would rather fight a, you know, horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses? I am happy to answer that question. All imponderable questions will be answered. It's one question per Patreon person, and this is any Patreon level. So just message us on the Slack or on Facebook or Twitter if you're a patron, and we will answer your question on the podcast. No question will go unanswered, and every answer will be the correct 100% positive right answer.
And hey, if you're not a Patreon member, you can still ask a question. But the problem is you'll lay awake at night not knowing the answer because you can't hear the Patreon special
It's
podcast.
Not too late to become a patron. So patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can join. And if you join at the $3 level or above, we will send you an invitation to our Slack channel. So if you have a question for us, get that question in by, let's say, Friday. Questions by
before you go to bed on Friday,
when you would normally be checking your team to make sure that your team is ready to go, you will now be submitting your Patreon Ask Us Anything podcast question. So you can email us hailcheaters@gmail.com. You can post it on the Patreon page, or you can just direct message us on Facebook or Twitter. Okay.
So we have a quick running order coming up. This podcast, we're going to talk about Aguero. We're going to talk about the Man United attack. I guess we should just wax poetically about Salah for a little bit, and a few other items to talk about before we head into this bleak non-FPL week. So let's take a quick break, Josh, and we'll be right back. Same old podcast, always cheating. We're back, and Josh, just as you're climbing up that FPL table, I am now climbing up the starting 11 daily fantasy table. I had a bad run of losses on the Starting 11 Daily Fantasy app, and this weekend I took on a few comers. We're taking challenges from the Always Cheating listeners, so I actually won because, as I mentioned, I do not have Brock Toon, Sergio Aguero, in my FPL squad, but Starting 11 made it possible for me to actually have Sergio's points.
Did you captain him
in
Starting
11? Yeah, I actually did captain him. I mean, so it was weirdly, I didn't even think about Sergio Aguero going into this weekend FPL-wise. Looking at Starting 11, it was just like a whole fresh squad. You have no budget to deal with, so I could just bring in whoever I wanted to. Effectively, everyone in my Starting 11 team scored a goal this week, which was amazing. So it was a lot of fun. So as I mentioned, there's no budget for your Starting 11 team. You can play on your iPhone or Android any day in which there are two or more Premier League matches. And as the games are playing out, you're allowed three live in-game substitutions. So when Firmino gets a 75th-minute substitution, you can bring in somebody.
Bring in Phil Foden. How about Brandon? Assist.
Foden
exactly. When could you ever have Phil Foden in an actual fantasy? Never.
No, you can't. So that's where Starting 11 is the key. So go to starting11.io, that's starting11.io for more information, or just search for the Starting 11 app in your iOS or Android store, and you can download and start playing today.
That's right. And you can definitely play us the weekend of the 24th when fantasy games return. And I'll just note, there is some exciting news coming down the pipeline. We cannot talk about it this week, but it will be something.
Cha-ching.
It'll be something that we're Cha-ching. Excited to talk about very soon. So,
Cha-ching.
So if I were you, I would just maybe, you know, 20 to 30 times a day, maybe an hour, I would be refreshing the starting11.io website just to check it out and see what's there. So, big news coming. We should, by the time we do our next standard podcast, I have some more information to tell you guys about. So, pretty exciting stuff. And I'll just leave the tease there for now. And we're back. So, Brandon, this is a pretty short podcast this week. We wanted to run down Game Week 27 and look ahead, talk about some of the key questions in case you need to make some early transfers or if you're wildcarding early. But there's a lot going on, and I would definitely hold off on making transfers if possible. That's because we have in the next 2 weeks, we have a full round of Champions League matches. There's five Premier League squad still in the Champions League. On Tuesday and Wednesday this week, City and Spurs and Liverpool all play. They all have pretty difficult matches. And Arsenal actually play on Thursday in the Europa League as well.
Yeah, all the Champions League fixtures are away for these Prem clubs.
Right, exactly, because they all won their groups. So and then you have Chelsea and United play next week. And then you have a whole round of FA Cup fixtures over the weekend, too. So we're not going to get too into details right now because there's just a lot of things that are still up in the air, still to be played. And we wouldn't want to give advice that was kind of immediately.
Yeah, we really didn't even solicit for questions for this episode tonight because, as you say, there are so many fixtures to be played. We can't really focus on game week 28 until more of these matches are played. And we see who does their ACL between now and
exactly.
Then.
But I think there are five questions that are worth considering right now. So first question is Sergio Aguero. We just talked about him and how important he was if you had him in your squad. If you had him in FPL, would you have captained him, Brandon, do you think?
It's an interesting question. I actually have thought about this because it was in my blind spot, I think, heading into game week 27. I can remember going to Fantasy Football Scout and looking at the captaincy poll, and my eyes just went straight to Kane or Salah because those were who I was oscillating between. And I didn't even register where Aguero was. I would assume Aguero was probably like number two on that poll, but it did not register for me.
Yeah.
So I assume if I was an Aguero owner, I would have to think about it. But this has been my issue not having Aguero during this run of Jesus being injured,
right.
Is it's just been a total blind spot.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting because I remember talking about this in December and we were sort of talking about Aguero and Jesus. And we just said, you can't have either one because they're just getting rotated so much. And then, we said, if any one of them got injured, then yes, you would definitely want to have the other one because, there's so many goals in that team. And so we kind of have this window, but the problem is now the window might be closing again because, we talked about this a little bit last week's podcast, but the next match that Man City play in the Premier League is not until March 1st, right? So it's February 12th right now. They have multiple matches, including the League Cup final. They have an FA Cup match and they have a Champions League match, right? So three more matches and Jesus is possibly going to be back from injury. I actually haven't heard anything super positive. I know that Sané is looking like he's ready to come back, but I think Jesus might still be a little while longer. So,
yeah, Ben Dinnery's site, premierinjuries.com, has Jesus listed as a February 19 return date.
That seems early.
But this is just, speculation seems like too strong of a word because Pep has said in numerous press conferences that he expects Jesus to be back in full training with the team and ready to be put into the lineup
right
sometime in February.
I just feel like we would have heard some rumblings, I don't know.
Or seen him on Man City's Instagram at the very least. But yeah, this does feel like something of I'll believe it when I see it. And because Jesus is coming back from such a lengthy spell on the sidelines, it's one of those where I'm not convinced that he's just going to slot right back into that striker rotation the way it was when him and Aguero were both fully fit and we couldn't rely on either of them. So I don't know what this injury news of Jesus means for Aguero.
I don't know either, and I do think that knee injuries in particular are injuries that things can go very wrong with knee injuries, and even mild ones like I think Tarkowski right now on Burnley has a knee injury, right? And he's been touch and go, but I think he's ultimately missed three fixtures in a row now, and it's just, I think it was the same thing with Steven Ward, where you just can't rush a knee injury, because it's like you see these guys who are out with a knee injury and they're on the sidelines. I mean, you saw it with Mendy, right, where he was like, celebrating with the team. But it's one thing to be able to walk. It's another thing to be running for 90 minutes straight against the best athletes in the world, right? It's just it's a whole different level. And so, if he's not even in full training with them, it's hard to imagine when he would rejoin the squad. It would have to be sometime in March at the earliest. March is the next time they play a match. So I feel like with Aguero, if you don't have him, I don't think I'd recommend bringing him in, And, I think the counter argument here, just to counter what I just said is their next two matches are away to Arsenal and home to Chelsea. So those are matches where you would think that he would want to field his best possible squad, right? I mean, they have not officially mm-hmm. sewn up the league yet. So I think that if Jesus is not fully back yet, I think you can count on Aguero playing in both game week 28 and 29.
I think the interesting stat this week against Leicester City sewed up European qualification. So at the very least, Man City is now qualified for the Europa League.
Is that
League.
Right? Wow.
So there you go. They basically don't even have to field a team for the rest
That's
of the
amazing.
Season. Because that was the primary goal, as far as I understand it, from the start of the season. Let's get to Europa,
guys. Yeah,
the
same goals as Burnley. Just get a European spot.
I tend to agree. Well, I can't agree because you made two points, but... I'm so colored by the fact that I am not an Aguero owner, and I think I do take some comfort in the fact that, okay, so it's kind of almost, it's not impossible, but it would be very, I'd have to tear up my team to get Aguero in at this point. And it would involve, I mean, the question you're asking if you're a non-Aguero owner is, am I willing to get rid of Harry Kane?
Right.
And...
Why would you?
Okay, so my strike, why would you? And you can't do that. My front line is Firmino and Kane. I'm basically set up as a 3-5-2, and Jordan Ayew enables me to play three up front, if not. So I'd have to drop Firmino. And Firmino is in excellent form, and Liverpool, of all the top sides, have one of the best run-ins, plus they're not blanking. So that's a non-starter for me to drop Firmino, and I think a lot of people are going to be bringing Firmino in after his incredibly consistent run over the last month or so. So yeah, I just don't see how I can fit Aguero in.
Yeah, you'd have to
taking some.
You'd have to drop someone like KDB, right? You'd have to like go from KDB to Milivojevic to do it. You know, like it had to be that kind
and of turn and then play like a strong three up top, turn Jordan Ayew into Sergio Aguero.
Yeah, because I think I agree. I mean, how do you drop Firmino playing in game week 31 and with all those good fixtures, like you just said, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So here we are kind of with the preamble to the section of I would need that's not a terrible idea. But we'd need more information. If it seemed clear that rumors of Jesus's return are much exaggerated, then sure, I'll go Sergio Aguero for Jordan Ayew at the expense of KDB. But we have to take Pep's press conferences pretty seriously at this point. If rotation is imminent, then it seems very risky.
Yeah, I think it's risky too. And so, I think we're in agreement here. If you have him, hold him. If you don't bring him in. I think it's that mm-hmm. that simple. I ultimately think that I will get rid of him at some point. You know, game week 31, if not sooner, right? Because I'm going to need players.
So who's ticked?
I would drop him for Firmino in game week 31.
Yeah, right. I mean, I guess there's really no other option. I mean, Liverpool just sits out there as the obvious team heading into 31.
Yeah.
They're in incredible form, have a great continuous run of fixtures, and don't blink.
I still think there's going to be a total troll job that takes place that week. Like, I think there are Champions League matches like a couple days later or something. So I just
Solanke is going to come in and just destroy all of our
teams.
It's
like going to be Ings and Solanke up front, and we're all going to have transferred in all of these Liverpool players.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time.
All right, question number two. Manchester United, can you trust any of their attackers? I'm including the entire midfield, the entire forward line here.
All right, I have a story for you, Josh. So I fired up my podcast app, and I saw what podcasts I had to listen to. And in the rotation was This American Life, a pretty popular sort of public radio podcast.
Sure.
And the title of their episode this week was Rom-Com. And I actually, because like everyone listening, I subscribe to about 50 football podcasts. I assumed it was a clever football podcast making a joke about the comedic stylings of Romelu Lukaku.
Right.
I thought, what a brilliant gag for the title of your episode, right. Rom-Com.
It's a great totally football show headline title.
Yeah. So this is my new name for Romelu Lukaku. I refuse to believe I'm the first person to make this joke, but if I am, I'm patting myself on the back. Rom-Com. Yeah, the Manchester United attack is bad at the moment.
It's It's in,
or something's not clicking.
It's in flux. I think that the influx is the generous way to put it. I guess you can't inject an unstable element, an ionic, a radioactive. Okay, I'm not. When I say radioactive, I don't necessarily even mean in a negative way. But Alexis Sanchez is an unstable something, right? He's like an electric eel in a pool. You know, like you put him in, and okay. You know, he's a toaster in the bathtub.
Another labored metaphor would be Alexis Sanchez is like my hand got cut off by the tractor, mm-hmm. and I'm getting a replacement hand from another body.
Like idle hands. Yes, exactly.
And the body could reject that hand, mm-hmm. or it could not. And right now, United is in the process of trying to absorb this new hand, mm-hmm. and. Right now, they're having some trouble.
It's not grafting the way you want it to. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Do you want to blame Alexis completely? He did miss a wide open chance, a tough miss. I don't know. I'm like always so generous when it comes to these misses. I mean, the Raheem Sterling miss was pretty unforgivable, but the Sanchez one, he kind of did have to take. He had to stop. He would have had to either like just kind of hit it blind. He stopped and kind of put his head up, and then suddenly there were two covered. I mean, Newcastle just defended really well in that match, and they even did on that Sanchez shot that he scuffed.
Yeah, hey, goals are just – we love goals because they're hard to score.
Right, exactly. But, yeah, I mean, the Pogba, you know, was a player. I even thought about on my wild card. I mean, it's – yeah, it's not working for Pogba. I mean, obviously Lingard is a complete disaster, right? I mean, Alexis Sanchez has basically ruined Lingard.
Well, I mean, Lingard had his chances. He continued to get starts in what is effectively a number 10 role in that squad.
How much longer?
It just didn't work.
Yeah, how much longer can he keep getting starts?
The Lingard ship has sailed. That's done. I'm very happy to be rid of him. All the negativity aside, I'll sort of say the same thing I've been saying about Sanchez. I still think that the Man United attack is going to come into the conversation as we head into the home FPL stretch. We're forgetting that United was actually destroying teams at the start of the season.
Yeah, it's just it's been so long. Those days have seemed so far away, and it does seem like he Mourinho has not quite figured out his perfect midfield, has he? I mean, I'm looking at, you know, Anthony Martial had some big chances. But then you look and, you know, it's like he's an intermittent starter, you know? I mean, he started like five of the last six, but then he didn't start, you know, didn't start three out of four before that. You know, I mean,
I think the talk now is not that he doesn't know who, it's not that he doesn't know who his best attack is. It's just that he doesn't know how to configure them.
Yeah.
So Martial, when Alexis is playing on the left, Martial gets moved to the right. Should you play Martial in the middle? Is Lukaku screwing everything up by Mourinho insisting on keeping him in the starting 11? It feels like all the elements are there. They just have to be moved around, and it just depends on – it starts to get very political here. Like, is Mourinho trying to play games with – the United ownership? Is he trying to play games with his team? Is he trying to push? Is he already at the point where he's trying to push players out this summer?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, it's sort of beyond our pay grade on this podcast, but you know, this question of like
we are not journalists, and nor do we pretend to be. But these are all factors that have to go into you deciding what your FPL team is.
Totally, because I mean, you're talking about, you know, incredibly expensive players now in Lukaku, Pogba. I mean, just in terms of even weekly salaries, right? Lukaku, Pogba, and Alexis, and these are players who can't be benched, right? I mean, maybe once, you know, you bench Pogba once to teach him a lesson. I mean, you're not, you know, Lukaku is a 100 million player. There's no, if you start benching him, he's got to go in the offseason. He's not like a, you know, you can't have a 100 million super sub, you know? And so it's like, they have to figure it out. But you just wonder if they're making so much money and they all demand the ball so much that maybe it will never click. You know, you just can't get them all sort of, you know, if you can ever develop like an esprit de corps, you know, with this kind of this much money, and I don't know. It's just, it's kind of, it's like a depressing modern football question, you know? It does seem like...
Well, it's what, yeah, PSG is suffering with this right now. I guess Real Madrid is as well.
Yeah, although ultimately, you know, Man City has the same issue, and they've, you know, they've found a way to make it work. And so, I don't know, maybe it depends on your leadership and the manager level. I mean, you know, and Real Madrid's won, what, like 3 Champions Leagues in 4 years, so it can work. It's interesting, you know, I was thinking about Man City and Real Madrid and Barcelona, and, you know, all of them kind of have like an alpha dog type player. I mean, you know, with Barcelona, you've got Messi, and with, you know, Madrid, you've got Ronaldo. I guess with City, that alpha dog would actually be Pep, right? Where he's just so open about his rotation, right? And just so this, you know, I am in control of this lineup. I will bench anybody, including Aguero, including Raheem Sterling, I guess not KDB, but, you know, in theory, everyone is benchable. And I think with Man United right now, there isn't a real leader on that team, whether it's with Mourinho or on the field. I mean, who's the superstar on that team? I mean, it's, you know, Lukaku doesn't, you know, score consistently enough. And, you know, maybe it's Alexis, you know, Pogba should be that player in theory, but it's like Pogba can't figure out who he wants to be, you know? It's like he's still taking all these free kicks. Yeah. And
David De Gea is really the alpha dog on that team. The problem is he's...
goalkeeper.
He's the drummer.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on to the next question. We talked about this one already a little bit, but is there anything else you want to say? The question is, always Captain Salah? This is kind of part 2, Brandon, because we did talk about this last week's podcast as well.
Yeah, okay. Super sour on this question last week. This week, fine. Let's do it.
I mean, West Ham at home in game week 28. I kind of dare you not to captain Mo Salah for that game.
Yeah. Bus team has the armband on Salah. No questions asked. No, it's true. How much farther do you need to push that argument? You used this phrase earlier this season, Salah having an Alexis Sanchez level season. Right. And now we're at the point where it's not even an Alexis Sanchez level season. It's we have not seen an FPL performance like this ever.
Yeah, it's the only thing that comes to mind is the Luis Suarez season, like 4 years ago, where he was just scoring a brace in like seemingly every week. I mean, he was so ridiculously dominant.
Yeah. And I think one thing that's really crystallized in the last couple of weeks, I mean, when Milner gave Salah the penalty, it's clear that Salah has his eyes on, he wants to make a real mark on this season. He wants to get the golden boot. He might even be going for that Suarez PFA player of the year, even though that Liverpool team was, you know, second best. Salah's daring to take that award off of KDB at this point. And it's really interesting. He's so driven. So I'm changing my tune. I suddenly find this always Captain Salah conversation interesting.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, and if that depresses you, just realize that if everyone starts captaining Salah, that can be a good thing if you're trying to come back, because, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a real edge in not captaining Salah now too. And I don't mean to sound like a total troll here, but I mean, like, if you're, you know, 70, 80 points back in your league and you don't care about finishing second or third, then I would just never and assuming that your first place person is going to captain Salah every game week, I would really try to pick my spots and try not to captain him. Maybe in some of their away fixtures. You know, because I think there might be a little bit of an edge
and
there.
It can be done.
Yeah, exactly.
It can be done. You pick your spots, you pick your windows, it can be done. And I think that's probably something I was inelegantly saying last week is, yeah, Salah is on paper always going to be the best captain, but there will be weeks like, look at Aguero this week.
Right.
Or look at Harry Kane another week.
Right.
Or even, you know, the inkling to go with somebody like Kevin De Bruyne. It's fine. Try it. Yeah. Especially if you're trying to make up ground. And just as you're saying, now that we're all moving, you know, so solidly towards Salah, that is actually a golden opportunity for people trying to make up ground.
All right. So question number 4, this is 4 out of 5 questions, Brandon. Question number 4, is there any value in the cheap third striker category? It's a tricky one, right? I talked about this earlier with Callum Wilson. What are you to do if you're looking for that third striker? And if you're looking for someone you want to play regularly, who are you going with?
I was Jordan Ayew.
Let's talk about the candidates first.
Sure. So you've got Jordan Ayew. You've got Callum Wilson.
Seems like Nias may have earned his spot for right now. Started the last three. Picked up 2 goals in his last 4 games.
Yeah, and Allardyce looks like he's pretty confident in. Despite there was some rotation with Rooney and Sigurdsson over the last couple of games, given the results when Rooney and Sigurdsson do start, that seems like a very solid formation for Big Sam. So Nias, and I think somebody said that Sanktosin isn't even in for a shout to start until Everton are quote-unquote safe. So, okay. Nias, I like him. He's got to be in there.
Callum Wilson, you know, is still up there, obviously. I mean, the fixtures are still very good for Bournemouth over the next 5 or 6 matches. They play Newcastle in game week 28, they play away Leicester in game week 29. We'll see if they play in game week 31. I don't know, that one's like, it's too early to tell. We'll know by next week. And then they play Watford and Crystal Palace in game weeks 32 and 33. So, definitely, you know, a player that you can, I'm certainly not looking to get rid, you know, yeah. He's still only 10% owned. So, you know, there's definitely an edge there if you can get on him, you know, ahead of a run, but it's been a little frustrating. The goals have been a little spread out on that team. You know, Junior Stanislaw, Jordan Ibe, Josh King, like they've all been picking up goals in different game weeks.
Yeah. Chicharito, he's had 4 returns in 4, 3 goals, 1 assist in the last 4 games. But if you, and he's priced at 6.7, if you look at West Ham's run-in, the next 11 fixtures, it's pretty brutal. I mean, Liverpool in game week 28, and it's a whole lot of red there.
Yeah. He kind of lucked into, I mean, he kind of got back into form when Lanzini went down. Surprisingly, that sort of opened up some space for him. Arnautovic sort of moved back into that attacking midfielder role. He'd been playing as an out-of-position forward, and Chicharito kind of jumped through that window, you know, and has done really well. Other players to look at, I mean, I guess Ashley Barnes, I was kind of interested in him. I do like Burnley's fixtures, but I actually had him on my wild card, but I moved him almost immediately for Callum Wilson.
He's done absolutely nothing this season. He's scored 3 goals. I mean, that's nothing to hang your hat on. And
it was a bit of a punt. You know, he was 2.5% owned or something like that.
I mean, that's fine. I don't think it was a bad point, but at this point, I think I'd be more inclined to target strikers who are playing on teams that have something to play for. I mean, Burnley are pretty much home and dry at this point.
Yeah. And it'd be nice if Iheanacho would actually get some regular starts. He's looked good in minutes. He looked really good in the FA Cup a couple weeks ago. He's only 6.5 million, but he's only started 1 of the last 3. So you can't recommend him yet. So, yeah, I mean, okay, so I guess it's kind of the usual candidates, right? You have Ayew, you have Jay Rodriguez is just not a player I'm looking at.
Also, so we're waiting for these charges from the FA, these racial abuse charges to come through on Jay Rodriguez. So he could be out of the FPL picture pretty soon here.
Yeah. So and Callum Wilson, I guess it's just the usual suspects, and no one has this. I mean, really, part of the problem is that I think you and I have both been in a position with Wilson and Ayew where they've done enough that we're basically playing a 3-4-3 again, right? And I had sort of,
yep,
in my head, I'd committed to more of a 3-5-2, and now I'm just doing a 3-4-3 because I just don't see myself benching Callum Wilson.
Yeah, I think the 3-4-3 is a viable formation now, but I still think you have to be prepared to, it's sort of like you have to be a transformer. You have to be ready to go into a 3-5-2 at the moment's notice. So my goal right now is, and the whole fiasco with Alonso is actually pretty good for my team, and that this is giving me an opportunity to downgrade Alonso and finally get rid of Loftus-Cheek. So I'm looking to move Loftus-Cheek into a much more viable midfielder that I can actually, you know, rotate with my third striker. So I can do a 3-5-2 or a 3-4-3 based on the week. And I mean, wild cards are incoming, so I don't want to talk too much about formation or team structure because it's, you know, it's going to be very fluid as we head into the home stretch. But that's I like the idea right now of having a team structure that you can, because we're going to have. Okay, so the point is that third striker is effectively a slot machine right now. You just have to hit it on the right week. And there is no third striker that is a play every week guy right now.
Okay. All right. Well, it answers the question in the sense that it's very difficult to answer. And there's no good answer. All right. The final question is something I was thinking about with Swansea. Are there any cheap defenders that are worth your money right now? I think we kind of knew who the cheap defenders were at the start of the season. You wanted some Brighton players. You definitely wanted a Burnley player, if not two. Now Burnley have gone six fixtures in a row without keeping a clean sheet. Looking ahead, and let's just leave the game week 31 out of the conversation for the time being, because it just muddies things so much.
Yeah.
But just looking at the next five or six game weeks. Where is there some value in the cheap defender range? I'll start off with Swansea just because I was that's the team I brought in. I brought in Fernandez. I think that you can go Fernandez or Naughton. Fernandez is 4.4 million. He's actually the captain right now, so very stable player in that squad. And they play Brighton, West Ham, Huddersfield, and Southampton the next four. So very good run in, and you can still get their defenders for super cheap.
Yeah, and Everton, I mean, you've cornered Cuco Martina. You criticize him as much as you want as a player. As an FPL asset at 4.4, delivering, two assists in a row, I'm not sure how consistent that's going to be, but Everton just have a great run of fixtures coming up, save game week 32 and 33. It's just all cake fixtures for them. And Baines is in no shape to come back anytime soon. You feel like he's locked in.
I guess he's hoping to, I think, return to training after the Watford match in game week 28. But, returning to training and actually getting into the squad are two different things. So, I wouldn't think we'd see Baines until April, probably.
Yeah, and this was the worry, like, when we were all playing Higazi at the start of the season. We'll wait until McCauley comes back and he's going to get Higazi right out of the lineup. Baines is getting on in years. He wasn't having a bang-up season at the start of this season. And I don't know that he gets back into the team if Everton continue with their form, Arsenal match aside.
Yeah, it could be that they work him in slowly. I mean, the fact that Martinez has been able to contribute two assists in the last two game weeks, I think really helps him as well, because I know that Allardyce was sort of commenting on how he wasn't really offered any attacking threat. And so now that he's doing that, I think that he's not a bad option, just knowing that you might have to ultimately drop him. But, that's always the risk you run with cheap defenders anyways.
If you're a Jonjo Kenny owner, there could be a pinhole of light if Seamus Coleman is injured yet again. I don't know how serious it is, but Jonjo Kenny could sneak back into the starting lineup. So keep your eye on the injury reports there.
All right, and Brandon, the obvious one here, West Brom, your beloved Higazi.
Yeah,
Look at this run of six fixtures coming up. Huddersfield, Watford, Leicester, Bournemouth, Burnley, Swansea. Four out of six of those at home.
Yeah, it's not bad. West Brom are pretty terrible at the moment.
Sure, 20th out of 20.
I think I said you heard it here first on the Always Cheating podcast. West Brom are not going down this season. They're 7 points away from safety right now. It's troubling. If they're going to be saved at all, it will be from their defense. This is the only thing West Brom has ever been able to rely on over the years. So I'm going to stick with Higazi. If you've got a Higazi-sized hole in your squad, worth a shout. Well, I'm really looking at Liverpool right now, and the trouble with Liverpool is, are they affordable or are they not? Because I think the player that you're most at ease going with is somebody like Van Dijk at 5.5, but they have a lot of cheap assets that are that are big rotation risks, like Trent Alexander-Arnold at 4.2. You know, he's played 90 of the last two fixtures, but can you count on any of these guys? That's the real problem.
Yeah, I think Van Dijk is the only one I would really feel confident playing, you know, most. I just don't see him rotated a lot. He really doesn't have a lot of miles on him this year, you know, and so I think that he can play Champions League matches and league matches and not be as much of a rotation threat. I mean, you know, Robertson is kind of the obvious candidate here, but, you know, at 4.7 million, but, yeah, I mean, you have to think he's going to start playing in some of these important Champions League matches, right? And we've seen Klopp rotate just an absolute ton the last two seasons, right? Yep. So I don't know why that would stop this year.
Yeah, I mean, the only way you can see them drawing focus away from Champions League is just saying, well, we've got to the knockout stages. That is a success for our club, just sort of getting back into the Champions League waters. We do have an opportunity to finish in second place in the Premier League. I mean, there are no trophies for second place, but still, I'm sure there's some value to that for the club.
I mean, he's made the finals of the Champions League before. I mean, and they play Porto in this round. It's a very winnable draw. And, you know, I mean, their team is so attacking that over two legs, I mean, who couldn't they beat, right? Yeah. I mean, just like, you know, they score four goals in one game, right? And just, you know, and then hold on, you know, in the follow-up away to, you know, at the Bernabeu or whatever. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I kind of agree with you, but I think right now they have to be all in on the Champions League too.
Yeah. That said, Van Dijk is probably top of my list of Alonso replacements right now.
Yep, me totally agree. Totally agree. All right, Brandon, those are the five questions. That's it. That's our podcast. This is much shorter than usual. I don't know what, like...
Should we just banter for the next 25 minutes?
It's not that late. I can, like, do things still. I can, like, I can go, like, read a book for an hour or something. This is amazing.
And our listeners, because you're still awake, you have time to join our Patreon page. And if you are a Patreon supporter, you can ask us anything, and we will answer those questions on a special bonus pod this weekend.
Yeah, and if you would be so kind as to go to iTunes and leave us a review, a 5-star review, if you would, that'd be very much appreciated.
Oh, it's got to be five, Josh. Five or nothing.
Got to be five. Yeah, someone went to the trouble to go in there and leave a comment-less 1-star review, which just kind of bummed me out.
And at least tell us what we're doing wrong.
Yeah, if that was even what it was, and it wasn't some kind of troll job or something. So, so if you can help us counteract the trolls, that would be awesome. If you enjoy the podcast, that'd be very much appreciated. It's really helpful for us to continue to grow the podcast.
It was probably a Chelsea player, given how much how prone they are to trolling everyone in the FPL.
That's true. Might be Man United fans after this podcast.
Nice. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, support the podcast. Rate us and review us on iTunes. Follow us. We're on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, Facebook.com/AlwaysCheating. Follow the pod on SoundCloud, where you can leave your comments in real time. You also subscribe to the podcast on Stitcher, Google Play, wherever it is that you get your podcast. And Josh, where is all of this information at your fingertips if you zoned out for the last a minute?
AlwaysCheating.com. That's also where you can leave comments for us. And you can even leave your Patreon Ask Us Anything comments there too. So, Brandon, have a nice, pleasant FPL-free week, and I will see you next weekend.
Yeah, we'll see you next weekend for our Game Week 28 preview.
All right, cheers.
Hail Lord Sorloth. What did you think? Did he look good?
He did. He looked very good, actually, and I think it's Sorloth. So now I don't even know. I don't know up from down anymore.
I think the commentator was calling him Sorloth, like he was... Which sounds very confusing. He's from the King Arthur's court or something.
Sorloth. He did look dangerous, though. He actually almost scored once. So, yeah, he looks like a good player.
He's still our Lord God, so that's fine. No matter how you pronounce his name, he's still a godlike figure.
Very much so.
But not as godlike as Poku. Hail Poku.
Hail Cheaters. Cheers.